An inspiring weight loss story.
I saw Arthur's video.
I made some bad choices about exercise.
With the knee braces, the back brace, the canes.
And I made some bad choices about eating.
And his belly was out to here.
And when I saw him trying to do this with crutches, I thought, okay, I can do this.
I started DDP yoga at 601 pounds. So I've lost 180-some-odd pounds.
With DDP yoga, I dropped 185 pounds.
Lost over 92 pounds.
A year ago, I couldn't walk to my mailbox. And yesterday, I ran a 5K, and it's because of DDP yoga.
You gotta be kidding me!
I've lost 65 pounds. More importantly, man, I've got my life back. I have the ability to dream again.
57 years young. This is what DDP Yoga is all about. It helps you hold back the hands of time. It's DDP
Radio.
Good evening, boys and girls, and welcome to another hour or so, whatever it turns out to be, DDP Radio. I am back as your host, Diamond Dallas Page, better known as DDP at this point. I want to thank Stacy, who's not here tonight, Stacy Morris, for being awesome on the hosting spot, along with my buddy Sparky, and of course Robert at the main controls, and feeding in all of the information that we need to have. Sparky, I haven't talked to you in a while, dude. Before I get into the show tonight, man, how are you doing?
If I said fantastic, I'd be somewhat lying. I'm not terrible, and I'm actually happy with our weather for once here, because it actually feels like I should be in Florida, like right now. 50 degrees and no snow feels awesome right now.
And what part of the country are you coming out of, Sparky?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So we had a good amount.
You guys know a little bit of something about winter weather this year, man. Even Atlanta. I thought I escaped it when I was down in Mexico. I escaped that first snowfall. But, man, it came back and kicked it in the ass. They closed the schools for 2 days before a top of anything fell. They were scared shit. Here in Georgia, the mayor took such a thrashing from everyone, and the governor, I mean, they were scared to death, and they have closed the schools for like 4 days. It was crazy. But you had real storm weather up there, so God bless you for going through that.
Oh, yeah.
So, Robert, my buddy, just to let you know, Robert is always on the controls here and puts this whole thing together, and he calls me up about 23 minutes ago. Gee, we're blocked out of Blog Talk Radio. I go, what do you mean? He goes, we can't get on. I go, you mean we can't have callers? He goes, no one can get on. So.
Oh, that was not. Oh, man. And luckily, because I found that they had a denial of service attack. So that took their site down. So it wasn't really their fault. But, oh, man, I thought we were going to have to cancel the show. I did not want to have to do that.
Especially with our guest I'm going to bring up here in a couple minutes here. Just want to make a few announcements like you talk about it's really your server that controls the internet. The reason why we can listen to this show unless, you called in. And if you got to leave your computer and you want to call in to talk to our guest tonight or just listen to the show while you're on the phone, you can do that at 347-994-1216. That's 347-994-1216. But if you're calling to get on with our guest tonight, you're going to have a little bit of a wait. But if you don't mind waiting, you know, then hop on now and first come, first serve. We'll take as many as we can get to. You talk about servers. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, me and my business partner, Steve Yu, being on Shark Tank coming up this Friday night. The really cool thing, Sparky, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but 3 weeks ago, they promo, you know, at the end of the show, they put a little spot with me and Steve standing there, and I say something, and I say something back, so you could see different, you know, people who are going to be in the show. So that, like, lit up the internet. Everybody said, you're going to be on Shark Tank next week. Did you see that, Sparky?
I didn't see it on the show, but I've been looking at their site, and they even had like a little clip of you on the Shark Tank site as a highlight to it that week.
Now this is really smart marketing because you know the other people, I haven't seen any of their what they've done or what their businesses or whatever, but none of them, from what I understood, because I saw pretty much everybody there. And by the way, 20,000 people subscribed to be on that show. It was over 20,000 this year, and just an honor to be considered. And going through the process, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot that we had to do. And the reason why no one's ever heard me say anything, but I loved being on the show, was because I'm a huge mark for the show. I love the show. And the reason why no one's ever heard me say anything about it is because it's a $5 million lawsuit. If you say a word, that gives away anything. So that's the last thing I'm going to do. But it was a lot of fun. It was really smart marketing by the ABC and Shark Tank. By the Olympics being here, they didn't run any new shows over this period while the Olympics was on. So what they did was they showed reruns, and they put us at the end of every show with the other guests that are going to be, you know, people are trying to be on the show to get the Sharks involved. And so we got 3 weeks of promotion. And the God's honest truth, I did not hear from Shark Tank. We were starting to wonder whether we were going to get on the show or not, because they tell you right there that when you get there, you've already gone through five different, let's call them interviews, from on the phone to written to video. I mean, it's a pretty grueling process. And they tell you, if you don't get a deal, if you get a deal, that does not mean you're going to be on the show. Congratulations for being this far, but it doesn't guarantee you anything. And they literally told – they wrote me and Steve literally like 2 days – I think it was 2 days before that show aired that said you're going to be on the 21st of February. So that was really funny. And, again, I'm really looking forward. We're having a big group of my buddies coming over to come over to watch the show, and – I want to see everybody's reactions to different things because it was a lot of fun being on there. And you never know what they're really going to show because we were in front of the Sharks for over an hour.
Wow.
And that could be, yeah, right? Crazy, right? So that could turn into 6 minutes or 8 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. Who knows? But there'll be some surprises on there, and I'm really interested to see because I know a couple times I fired back. And we'll see what it comes out like. So I'm really looking forward to it no matter what. I had an awesome time. The show is a shoot, meaning it's real. They brought us out. The only time I saw the Sharks, and you knew they didn't know anything just by the way they do everything, because they're on the phones and on their texting and, you know, talking on the phone. When you're doing rehearsal, they're not even paying attention to you. These guys are billionaires. They don't care about us. We're peons to them. But they were in it, and you could tell it was a shoot straight across for anybody who wanted to know about that. Now, before I bring on our guest, our special guest today, which is a real big honor to me, I was just with him today, I just want to give a couple announcements. You know, everybody has heard by now that I'm coming across the pond. I'm going over with Eros Comedy, and this is my buddy Chris and Billy are bringing me over there for a tour that's going to consist of Q&As and DDP yoga. And just to give you some of the dates, March 1st, we will actually be in London doing a DDP yoga workshop. All this information is up on ddpyoga.com, and you can, you know, get on board right there and be a part of the workshop. It'll be March 1st in London. March 2nd, I'll be in London again, but this time I'm going to be at a theater, Leicester Square Theater. That's in London. That's on the 2nd. The 3rd, I'll be in Cardiff at the Glee Club. The 4th, I'll be in Birmingham at the Glee Club. The 5th, Manchester at the Comedy Store. And then in Newcastle at the NE6 Suite, whatever that means. I'm sure anybody in Newcastle knows what that means. And then I'm going back to Manchester to do a workshop. That'll be Saturday. So that's the two DDP yoga workshops will be on the 1st and the 8th. And as soon as I'm done with that workshop, boom, I hop on a plane and head to Belfast, Ireland, and I'll be at the Empire, and then I'm going to be in Cork, Ireland. And Mark Furness is actually from Cork, Ireland, his hometown. And, you know, Mark is. He's always up on Team DDP Yoga. He's always up on the Facebook, DDP Yoga. And, this cat's lost over 100 pounds, and I'm really looking forward to meeting him. And it was funny because when someone says they lost all that weight, the first thing I do is go to Team DDP Yoga and see if they took the 6 pictures. Right, Sharky? Sparky? Sharky. Because then there's no around it. You did it. And his wife, Suze, actually had him take the 6 pictures. They both did, which is really awesome. So I'm really looking forward to meeting him when I get out there. So that's going to be our Q&A, literally ending on the 10th. And what that's going to be... It's a free-for-all, man. These guys do an awesome show, ErisComedy.com. That's the proper website, right, Robert?
Yes, that's right. And just so you know, if you want to get in on the workshops, you need to hurry up because those tickets are selling really, really fast.
Yeah, and we got a pretty big space, but I'm only allowing so many people in there, and we're going to have an awesome time. At a workshop, just so you know, when I come in there, I really talk about where DDP Yoga came from, so you really understand the background of it and why I, you know, did what I did. For a guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga the first 42 years of his life, to at this point have my name attached to it. Of course, it ain't your mama's yoga, so that sort of sets us apart from everyone. But I get into that. I really get into the breathing, and I take breathing to a whole different level. And how to get the most out of your breath, not just in the workout, but in life. We really get into dynamic resistance and really how to do it. It's like, I don't care if there's 60 people there, it's like a private. You know, because anybody who asks anything, we talk about food, we really get into the food, and then we take the Diamond Dozen, which we really break down, and then we get into the workout. And I make it so just about everybody. And some people, I put chairs, just like Arthur. I put a chair right next to them. And they may need to do that to get up and down, but you got to be able to bend over and pick up your keys or reach up and change the light bulb. If you can do that, you know how to check your ego, you're going to be awesome. Because I make it, you know, just like the DVDs, I make it compatible to everyone. And on that note, I also want to mention that we're going to be at WrestleMania. Everybody's heard by now that Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm really excited about that for a number of reasons, just because Jake has overcome such adversity. So, you know, my whole crew, I'm bringing the whole DDP, you know, yoga crew, too, who's been working on this to help Jake out. And it's not just me. It takes a village, you know, to raise a kid, and it takes a village to help a buddy overcome crack and drugs and alcohol and pills and all that. So he's really done an amazing job, and I'm really proud of him. And so we're going to be down there on Friday, and I believe all the information, again, is up on ddpyoga.com at the Holiday Inn in New Orleans at the West Bank. And that's like 3 minutes from the Civic Center. It's 3 minutes from all the 3 miles from all the buzz in New Orleans. And actually, the guy at the Holiday Inn called me up, and he said to me, "Man, I would love to have you come down. I will give you the room. I will, you know, help. I'll put you up." And I already had all that taken care of for the WWE, but it was just really nice of him. And I just took care of some of my people from Team DDP Yoga. But you know, we're going to be down there Friday night and then Saturday morning. So if you're making plans to go to WrestleMania and you're listening to this, there's a good chance you should be coming to that workshop because, again, you'll have a lot of fun. And I bring the world title belt with me, again, when I'm whether I'm overseas in the UK or Ireland or Wales. You know, I have the world championship belt with me. And when you get there and get the workout at the end, I take pictures, sign whatever you want me to sign. You know, it's like Mickey Mouse with tattoos. It's a hell of a time. And I really make it so everybody has a kick-ass time. And again, that's my boys over at Eros, E-R-O-S, comedy.com. That's right, Robert? I got that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. And if you have any questions tonight for our guest that I'm about to bring up here, you can either call in 347-994-1216, or if you're on the chat line and you're pulled into it, of course, you can always go to DDPradio.com. And if you're in the chat room, just hit Sparky with a question, and then we'll have him ask those questions to our guest, who I'm going to bring out right now. He is a three-time WCW Tag Team Champion. He is a two-time World Television Champion. He is a five-time with the longest record for the United States Champion. He is a two-time WCW World Champion and one of the very few Triple Crown Champions. He's got a new book out right now, which we're going to talk about it when you get him on here, Wrestling with the Devil. Please welcome my very good friend, Lex Luger. Lex, you out there, buddy?
Hey, 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 Dallas. Thanks for the great intro, buddy. I'm here.
That is awesome, man. We were just together today. Lex is over at the crib today, working with the yoga doc and me, and, back on track. But before we get into that, Lex, I have a question. Before we talk about the book, before we talk about your career, I try to follow up, but, Steve Austin taught me this, and he's going to be interviewed. You want to go on Wikipedia. You want to read about, so you know a little insights of stuff you don't know. And I know a lot about Larry Fole, a.k.a. Lex Luger, but I did not know, and you got to tell me if this is just someone going on Wikipedia and writing something, or if this is true. Is it true that you were also a soccer player and a fan of the English soccer for Manchester United? Is that true, or is that total bullshit?
I wasn't an avid soccer player, but I am a big Manchester United fan. Back in my days, tag team up with Davey Boy Smith, I was over in England and traveled with him in his car. We got off the bus with the guys and traveled together in his car. I stayed at his parents' home. And just a big, I'm a big Manchester United fan.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I saw that. He played, because you can only be so good at everything, which, I've always called you the cyborg, because there wasn't many things you were weren't good at. I want to talk about the book, but before we do, I'd like to get like a little brief, synopsis of, you give the people like where you come from. I know you're a Buffalo boy. You're proud of that. You talk about winters. You've seen a winter or two. About how you started, coming up, from being in high school and, grade school on up.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Buffalo, blue-collar town, northeast town, great place to grow up, great place to be from, especially with that weather, as we just said. Great mom and dad, great upbringing. They were small business owners. They actually just finally retired and closed their piano and grandfather clock shop after 58 years in business. I'm so proud of
that.
You're a small business, a successful entrepreneur for 58 years.
Wow.
Man.
That's about community.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that said something about dealing with the community and being a part of the community. When you can have a business for 10 years, 58, that's a different story.
Yeah, with all the schools and the community, and they're very well known up there for having a great business. And I grew up in that atmosphere, and I'm very thankful for that. Was an apparition in my family, because everybody in my family was obviously in the music and arts. My dad was a concert pianist, and my mom's dad was in the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra and was an artist, so painter. And so I just found out very early age I loved sports, and I loved doing it. Ended up just doing all the sports in high school and ended up getting this football scholarship to offers from all the major schools and went on to a college football career after I graduated from high school in Buffalo.
So you started out at Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania University? Wasn't Penn State?
I initially went to Penn State University, Joe Paterno. And
yeah.
I heard about the great, at that time, still is, but one of the greatest football programs in the country.
What a comeback, huh? What a comeback, Dave.
Highly regarded.
Yeah, what a comeback they've had too, huh? With all the adversity that went out of there. You got a card goes out to those kids. So
yeah,
you start with them.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, why did you leave? Why did you go on to go to Miami? How did that happen?
The weather.
Ah! Seriously?
The weather and women.
The weather and the women, did you say?
Yeah, that's not a hard answer.
No, dude, that's, you know.
You know how we make our decisions when they're 18 years old?
Yeah, Miami. That's a sick town.
His nickname was Sunshine U.
So you get to Miami, and you weren't there that long, were you? How long did you actually stay there?
I was there for a year and a half. I got kicked out I got introduced at speaking areas the other day. Mark Rick, the University of Georgia football coach, was a teammate of mine then, and his brother-in-law was introduced to me at a speaking engagement the other day. Well, just last week, he goes, and part of his intro was, he's probably the first and only guy back in the day to get kicked out of the University of Miami. He goes, how did you get kicked out of there back then? He was always kind of like the all-time renegade school, right?
Right. Crazy. And of all people. And knowing you, because I remember you told me the story, which we won't get into, but it was so like, what, Lex, you? And, you know, it was just so funny. But nobody goes from a year and a half of playing football to the pros, but you did. And, you know, did you get a really great agent? Because I know you had the skills, but how did that happen? How did that come about? That doesn't just happen.
That was crazy. There was a influential alumni who I didn't even know, who had a connection with Montreal and the CFL, and he knew from my, you know, all the NFL guys come in for testing in the spring. They run you through all your 40s and shuttles and vertical leap and all that stuff. They come and test all the guys at those big schools.
Right,
I was
off
the charts on all the tests, and I was projected, if I stayed healthy, to be a top first-round draft pick in the NFL. When my class graduated, which was the rule back then. So he called Montreal and go, hey, this kid, if you can believe it, got kicked out of our school. But this kid is off the charts and all the testing. You might want to take a look at him. So they just basically brought me up to training camp. Really, I had the impression for just training camp fodder, just get knocked around. And I ended up making the team. The coach took a liking to me at my position, ended up making the team. It was crazy. I was the youngest American ever to make a Canadian Football League team.
How old were you then? Were you 20?
19.
That's insane. my God. So the bottom line, you play there, and then you came to the AFL, am I correct?
Yeah, I signed with Green Bay Packers, and got injured there, was there about a year and a half, and then I fled back down to Florida with the Tampa Bay Bandits, but Steve Spurrier was the coach that played bandit ball. They were packing out the NFL stadium there in the spring league with Donald Trump and all them. And so that was the New Jersey Generals and Herschel Walker. So I went to that league for two seasons, and then the league folded. And that's when I made my next big decision in life.
So I seen here that Bob Root was the first one to grab you and pull you in. Is that right?
It's not. That's all Wikipedia stuff.
No, that's why I asked.
Yeah.
So who pulled you on?
I mean, one on Wikipedia. Bob Root probably typed that in.
Ah! So who actually brought you in?
But, no, I just walked in. I was living in Tampa, of course, at the time playing football. I walked in the Championship Wrestling Florida office. I have always had a passion for working out. They took one look at me at 6'4", 275 pounds with a six-pack, and sent me here to Matsuda to see if he could, whether or not I had what it took.
Because
he was famous for breaking people's legs and busting people's chops. You asked Scott Hall about Matsuda or Hulk Hogan. And I didn't realize that at the time, but I sent me to him, and him and I ended up hitting it off famously. I never went back to football. I at that point, I hadn't considered giving up on football, I was going to go back to the NFL and continue my career. Things progressed so well in the offseason of Matsuda. I was in the ring with my debut before football came back up. Crazy.
Wow. And yeah, you're right about the whole Matsuda thing. I know that he's, first time Hulk Hogan ever got in the ring with him, he snapped his ankle.
I heard there was that rumors about him and I just hit it off famously. What a wonderful man. Great family man. Loved professional wrestling for the intrinsic enjoyment of seeing others succeed. Never had a school who charged guys money, which you know how unusual that is. Just a wonderful guy, man. Just him and I. Looking back now of different ways guys tried to get into wrestling through the years to just be put with a guy like that, and even he was like a father figure for me my first year down there in wrestling, and always looked after me. Just a wonderful guy. I'm so thankful that he was in my life then.
Yeah, as we both know, the mentor is everything. And without, I always tell everybody, without Dusty Rhodes, there is no Diamond Dallas Page. There just isn't. And without Jake, I never make it past the mid-card ever. So, I'm eternally grateful to both of those guys on so many different levels. And having someone like Matsudo, who was monsterly respected because of all of the above, and for him to take a liking to you like that, that can change someone's life instantly. And you got over there big, and you had a hell of a run down there, didn't you?
Yeah, it was tough at the right place at the right time. Wrestling was making the transition from where they're starting to look for that sort of new wave of guys. They're common now, like cookie cutters out of the WWE school, but the athletic looking guys with a six pack, they were looking for that type of guy. Hogan had just hit the scenes with a very impressive physique. So off that Rocky movie, they were looking for my type of guy. So I also consider myself very fortunate as far as timing goes in that, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely, man. And from there, getting to work with in with the Four Horsemen, and dude, that had to be like, stepping up and then stepping in and having that group of guys and being able to have the feud that you had with Flair. What was that like for you? Because you were still pretty young in the business all the way around. What was that like being like, boom, all of a sudden, like, on top of it all?
Yeah, that was magical time in the late 80s with the Horsemen. And we have Arn and Tully and Rick and J.J. Dillon, those guys. And just, it was so new and know so little about wrestling, or even how to wrestle, to have those guys take me under their wing and mentor me and teach me and pour into me. It was just an incredible opportunity, both in the ring and outside of the ring. Obviously, we had a lot of fun as the Four Horsemen. That was a shoot. And the jet planes and limousines and Flair has always done things with style. Flair's image is everything. So he was the image enhancement specialist. So I learned off of the best guys in the business, and that was just a wonderful time in my career. I look very fondly back upon.
When you look at your career, Rex, which was a storyboard, I mean, if you really look back, you go, you know what? If I could dream, this is the career I would, just explode to have. It would be, you were in the top 5% of all those guys who ever had that unbelievable run. What are some of your fondest memories of that time? Like, what do you look back and just go, wow, that was awesome? Like, a lot
well,
of
them, sure. Yeah, obviously the Horsemen, my WWE run with the Lex Express was, I thought Vince was out of his mind, but I was the narcissist, and a week later I was on an aircraft carrier slamming Yokozuna and slam her around the world. That was special because we didn't even know if he could be slammed. He was 627 pounds. I know that from he stood on a trucking scale in Germany one time at the airport because he couldn't weigh in on a regular scale. 627 pounds.
And still,
and we didn't know if he could be slammed because most of his weight was down low. He was like bottom heavy at 627 pounds. So we walked through the slam on the aircraft carrier the week before at the office, but we didn't even try because we didn't want him to get injured or me. And they said, the only way you're going to be able to do this is if the adrenaline's flowing. So I was so nervous beforehand. I got in the ring. People don't know this, but I wore cowboy boots instead of wearing the sneakers I was wearing in the ring when we practiced the walkthrough in Dallas, I was on ice skates in there when I got in the ring in the aircraft carrier live on July 4th. Everybody had failed slamming him. And I was supposed to go nose to nose with Yokozuna and trash talk before he did a little thing where I slammed him. I was just, people thought I was trash talking. I was in a state of panic going, Yoko, I called him Yoko. Yoko, I'm on skates, man. I'm on skates. We're not going to be able to do it. I was totally panicking. And Yokozuna was, people don't know us, was really mostly a Samoan brother. He wasn't, he had a little bit of Japanese in him, but he was a one cool Samoan brother.
Yeah.
He goes, problem, brother. He goes, just keep your stance wide. He goes, I'll do all the rest. People don't realize Yokozuna basically slammed himself that day. He was so acrobatic and agile for a guy that size. What an incredible champion he was in WWE. I think underestimated. We call him the showstopper. And man, when that 670-pound mammoth man came out, every building he went to, it was. He stopped the show, man. It was a sight to behold, that guy. Unbelievable. Great guy.
Awesome, man. You know, I got to chat, you know, his real name, of course, Rodney. And I got a chance to see him back in the AWA when he was tagging with his brothers. And he was 420 then. He reminded me of Bam Bam Bigelow, the way he could move around like he was 120 pounds.
Island boys are so agile, aren't they?
Unbelievable, you know, and to watch him just get bigger and bigger and bigger and still keep that cat-like movement. You know, he started to drop it off when he started to get over the high 500s, but he still was amazing. So, you know, you're right, that was a slam heard around the world. The next thing you know, the Lex Express is everywhere. You know, I thought it was brilliant. You know, when it comes to marketing, man, to me, hey, stick his name on a bus and send him around.
Vince is the master at that. I mean, we have lines at Toys R Us in Denver, for instance, that lap three times around the building. They had to get the emergency responders out to bring them water. It was in the summer in Denver. It was 101 degrees that day. Vince marketed that thing like only he can, man. It was incredible. That was a real highlight. Another big highlight, obviously, I know you as well, was the Monday Night Wars, man. That was in the late 90s then, and just to be a part of that week in and week out, the fan reaction, the people going back and forth in their channel changers from Raw to Nitro, and just to be be able to participate, be a part of that. And really, maybe the highlight for me personally was the win over Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan had never, he was at the peak of the NWO.
Yep.
He was at the peak of being the world champion bad guy. No one ever would have guessed, but Eric Bischoff and Hogan thought the fans needed a little bone because we got left laying every Monday night, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And they thought the fans needed just a little something, a little flicker of hope before the big Sting Hogan matchup. So live on Nitro, they didn't tell me I was going to be world champion that night until right before I walked out that they told me and the referee, Nick Patrick, we both looked at each other like, are you kidding me? No, because they won the kayfabe, the fans, because of the internet, and they didn't even tell me until almost right before I walked in the ring. Because nobody expected it. Detroit went wild. It was another just fond memory, great highlight of really Dallas, a 15-year career of just 4th of July fireworks went off. Like you said, I got in with the Horsemen in the first year of my career, just 15 years working with every top talent, every main event guy from you and Macho Man and Sting and Hogan and, I mean, Bret Hart and Stone Cold. You know, every name you could name I got to work with. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful career. But people ask me about my life and try to ask about wrestling. I go, the things that happened in my life outside of wrestling, the bad decisions I made, some of the tragic things that happened, I go, had nothing to do with wrestling. The sport of professional wrestling is as much fun as it looks. The fans, the crowds, I know you'll back me up on this, Dallas. The pay-per-view events, it is a blast, isn't it?
It was a dream, you know. It was,
yeah.
You know, one day I went from being a manager, and then years later, me and you were riding down the road together, man, and, you know, working our magic. And it was fun,
you'd
man.
You'd have the video up on the dashboard.
What? And now today, every kid's got his matchup on YouTube. Is that crazy?
You're ahead of your time, as always, buddy. With whatever you do, just like DDP Yogi, you're ahead of your time.
It's just so funny like that, man.
And you know, Dallas, in reflection, sometimes wrestling from our era, people like to take some shots at it because so many of our guys, unfortunately and tragically, have died at a young age. And
Right. You
take any rock and roll bands, young guys back then, the young guys now, they're doing such a great job with them. We were talking about that this morning, training these guys and getting them to take care of their bodies better. But we were up from that old school, work hard, play hard, right, Dallas? And, man, that just was the culture back then. And, yeah, there's a lot of guys that had some bad things happen in their personal life and with drugs and alcohol, and we lost them, unfortunately, at very early ages. I'm so thankful I wasn't one of them as well. But that was the mentality back then. But it wasn't at all a reflection on professional wrestling as a sport. It's just a wonderful storybook thing to be involved in. It really is.
You know, and what people don't really understand, it was sort of like part of, you know, the work, the run. It was like going to the bar afterwards. Like if Kurt Hennig, the first night I ever, and I was a bar guy, I was running nightclubs when I first started as a manager in the AWA, and me and Kurt, we just clicked immediately. And we both ended up at the bar after the first show because we filmed four shows for Vern. And we're sitting at the bar, and we're talking, we're hanging out, having a good time. And he says, Dallas, you will create more relationships at the bar with the boys than you ever will in the ring. I don't, you know, what you're doing. And I wasn't, of course, wrestling. Just, you know, it was about relationships. And that was just part of our thing. Today, the guys, a lot of them go home and play video games.
in our era, we'd run all night after the matches, and usually we never even checked into the hotel. We'd go straight to the airport for the flight the next morning.
I would go home and go to bed. You would go straight to the gym. Like, what?
Yeah, I don't think I slept for almost 15 years.
No, I don't think you did either. That's why
you started calling me the Cyborg.
The real name came. The name came from the Cyborg. Was one time Lex was doing squats. We were at his gym, the main event, and I was hitting something next to him. He goes, "Hey, Dallas, Craig, give me a spot, will you?" He throws 405 on the squat rack. Now, I'm not talking about half squats, 90% squats. I'm talking ass to the floor. 405 on the squat rack. I didn't touch Lex and even try to pull him back straight until rep number 25. I was like, God. I
remember that day. You walked away shaking your head. You go, that's ridiculous.
Oh my God, ridiculous. But you know, that was you, dude. You were gonna give it all every time you were in the gym, in the ring, no matter where you were, you were doing your thing, man. So you got this book. You got this book.
No doubt, no regrets.
No, and I know you, man.
When it comes to wrestling itself and working out and doing that part of it, no regrets there, my friend.
I think in life in general, because I just spent a day with you, and we do spend, you know, sometimes I'm off the road, I always come by and we get together, and I said it today, I can't remember who I was talking to, I said, but Lex Luger makes me look like I can't spell the word positive. I mean, I may be a really bad speller, but I can spell the word positive, but have really turned so much of your life around. You have come out with this new book, Wrestling with the Devil. Tell us what inspired you, because you could have written a book 20 years ago. You know, what now? Like, where did the passion come from you wanting to write this book?
You know, I never, first of all, thought I would or really could do a book, because I'm one of those guys who, back in high school, I couldn't even put a two-page essay together. So I thought that doing a book was just out of the question. But, you know, Dallas, just out of just, you know, my life now, I'm amazed what he puts together in my life now. I did a speaking engagement, a corporate speaking engagement for a place called Tyndale Publishing. It's this huge publishing company up in Chicago. They've done all of Tony Dungy's books, the football coach. You know him, the Super Bowl winning coach?
Sure.
Yeah, and they've done all his books. They're a great company. I spoke at their company. They have a morning thing where they bring speakers in like once a month. And they have a big factory there where they actually manufacture all their books and everything. So they pack it out. And they had me speak. They called me out of the blue like 3 weeks later and asked me if I ever thought of doing a book. I said, no, not really. And they said, we'd like to do one with you. I was like in shock. They are like this incredible. So they made it the easiest, simplest. I mean, they assigned me a writer here in Atlanta who did a big article. I mean, the AJC, who I was friends with, had him record everything, take it all down. Then they had the editors work with me, and they put the chronology of everything together, and is this how you say that? And they made it such a joy. I had a blast doing it, and they just did such a wonderful job on the book. I was so pleased the way it turned out. That's what an incredible thing.
Well, first of all, where can people get the book right now?
Oh, they can go any of your normal outlets, of course, Barnes & Nobles or those kind of places, or Amazon Books, of course, and go to Amazon, or they can go to LexLugerBook.com and find out where to go from there as well.
And also, can they get an ebook? Is it available for?
Ebook. You can download it on your Kindle or whatever that stuff. It's available as that, and also it's available in audio.
Well, that's awesome, dude! All the way around,
yeah.
You've got all the avenues going there. Because I'm a big ebook now, because I like the way it lights up the screen where I'm trying to read at night. You know, that's becoming my ritual right now. You know, to start to try to put me to sleep, because you know, shutting down our brain is not the easiest thing in the world.
No doubt, I love the iPad. I read on my iPad all the time. I don't even buy books anymore. I do them all on the iPad. I love it too. And you know, the purpose for doing the book was threefold. Number one, for those young people out there, hey, if you don't build your house on a solid foundation, no matter how big and nice a house you build, it can come tumbling down, as we know. And number two, for those who are riding high and think they got it all going on, if you don't watch some of the things you can allow to creep into your life that seem like little things but can add up over time, be careful. Because I remember I went out to Hollywood one time, Dallas. I thought I was going to be a Hollywood star. Wasn't my thing, the L.A. thing. But at the time, I went out to L.A. and I said, okay, if I move out to L.A., I become a big movie star. Where do I live? They go, Hollywood? They go, no, you don't live in Hollywood. Go up to Malibu. So I drove up the coast to Malibu. And at the time, I was looking like a little place off the beach for like $5 million. It was a little cracker box. I couldn't get the price out there. So I asked the girl, just out of curiosity, I'm reflecting back on this now. I go, tell me something. I go, what are the regular people do out here in Malibu?
Right.
And she goes, oh, Lex, that's really easy. I go, what? She goes, they all work at the rehab centers. I go, they what? She goes, they're all employed. She goes, Malibu has over 100 drug rehab centers that are world famous around here. She goes, that's one of our main industries. She goes, and that hit me looking back now in reflection. My second reason for doing the book is people would think they're riding high, and other people look at them and go, wow, they got it all going on. But behind the scenes, look at that example. Hollywood people are the richest, most famous, most beautiful, got all the most stuff, cars, houses, clothes, designer baggage, accessorized, shop or Rodeo Drive, but the number one business out there is rehab centers. It tells you a little about you can't find happiness just through fame, fortune, and glamour, so to speak. And that was the second reason for doing the book. There were regular people behind the scenes. We got challenges, too, and we can make bad decisions just like everybody else can. And
absolutely,
it can have bad consequences. Bad decisions lead to bad consequences. That was the second reason. And then the third reason was to share my faith. Obviously, you know, I became a born-again believer on April 23rd of 06, and God supernaturally turned my life around because I was a whatever he thought was the next dead wrestler, a hopeless case. And God surrounded me with an incredible group of people from there on out, and my life has been never the same since. So I wanted to share the gospel as well, and what somebody sharing that with me did in my life and how that turned me around in every way possible, for not only now, but for eternity. So not just here on earth. So those are the three reasons, and they just did a fabulous job of communicating that. So I'm really, really pleased how Wrestling with the Devil turned out.
You know, and on that mark of, you know, Christ saving you, those people who helped you, they tried a bunch of times and you wanted nothing to do with them. And I know that.
Oh, my God, Dallas. I grew up Darwinism and evolution, and I was like the Antichrist when it came to people trying to talk about Jesus, or I was like saying that stuff. So when people heard I got saved, they were shocked to go, Lex Luger got saved. They were like, I just had a guy the other day tell me that one of the cops that came to my house when I was getting arrested all the time here in Marietta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta, heard that I was out there speaking in churches as part of what I do on my speaking engagements, because Lex Luger talks in churches. Because, man, last time I was at his place, there was drugs and booze all over his place. We arrested him. He goes, you got to be kidding me. He was absolutely incredulous. And that is supernatural. Only God can do something like that in somebody's life to instantly change it around like that. Because I was a disaster back then. So at one point, I had some real low points. And obviously, as we know, with the tragic death of Elizabeth and all that stuff that came down, man, I was every thought even my own family thought they were going to lose me. My sister, Dallas, my mom used to hang on to my voicemail so they thought they'd never hear my voice again.
Wow. You know, I was with you through all
of... praise God, hallelujah. And for people like you who came into my life when I had a lot of some serious medical issues with my spinal cord injury, I mean, I just am so blessed in my life now, Dallas. And you really stepped up into my life and introduced me to DDP yoga. And that was just, and all that's done for me since my physical challenges, it's been a huge part of what I've done. I got away for a while, which is why I was over at your place this morning, believe it or not, but I'm glad you can lock back in with you now. And, I can't tell you, you came and visited me in Shepherd Center where I had my spinal cord injury and spent time with me and encouraged me. And, you are, my brother, you talk about positive. You are a born encourager. I love what you're doing with the guys. I love what you're doing all those people out there with DDP Yoga. I'm a huge advocate, well, health and wellness advocate now, and that's one of the things I do when I speak is churches, of course, I share my faith, but I go around and give health and wellness advocate type by proper nutrition and exercise and take care of your body. And I just commend what you're doing. I love what you're doing, buddy.
Oh, dude, you know, it's like that I was there the day that happened and was in your room with you in San Francisco. Man, I just thought we were joined at the hip from then on out, man. And I didn't even know what was wrong.
Went down. My buddy, I was laughing. You call one of my buddies, go, look, the cyborg, Luger, he's down. It was like, I was laughing because I know your personality. He's down, bro. He's down. He went down for the count. The cyborg finally crashed.
No,
you were right there in the hotel room, man. So God has weaved our lives together forever, man. And I'm so thankful for your friendship and your support and encouragement.
And vice versa, my friend. We'd like to take a couple calls. We got a couple people online, but
please.
Awesome. Before we do, Sparky, you got a couple of questions over there in the chat room.
Oh, yeah, we got quite a few to go through. If you want to hit a couple first.
Let's two of them. Let's ask two of them, then we'll go to some of the live people. We'll come back.
Okay, I want to hit this one because of what you were just talking about, Lex, with your books and whatnot. We have Andrea RHP from our community wanted to tell you how excited she was to read your book, and specifically because it's so open about your faith and how encouraging you are. Can you talk a little bit about your journey and how people can apply that with DDP Yoga, not just physically but spiritually?
Oh, well, I think all of them, I know Dallas will concur, the physical part of our bodies, they're a holy temple. We honor God by taking care of them with the proper nutrition, the proper exercise, DDP Yoga. All these things work together. But also, I believe, mentally, when Dallas and I are talking about being positive, I mean, you have a choice and control over taking captive your mind, your mind paradigm. And I truly believe that so many people spend so much time as I think what a friend of mine calls stinking thinking. And I believe that a positive mental outlook, focus on what does work in your life, what is going well, be thankful for that. And that plays a huge part mentally, and I think spiritually, to be thankful that there is a creator, he has a plan of purpose for our lives, and that we're to live that out, honor him and live it out by one of the great commandments of loving thy neighbor, and that gave me a servant's heart that I never had before. I'm thankful for that. That's been woven into everything. So I believe that they're like a three-legged stool. If you picture a stool, if you have the physical and the mental going on, but not the spiritual, it's off balance. And because you only have two legs. But if you have all three, I think that is, to take a play of words, the total package.
Awesome. Sparky, give me another question there.
Yeah, Katie Stifler was thrown back in the ring, and she had a question for you on which of your gimmicks did you enjoy the most?
Oh, wow. I would say it was a short run, but one of the ones I enjoyed the most, I enjoyed all of them, but one of them was the narcissist, because I got to back then, the way I was, I got to beat the guys, and I got to throw them out after the match was over, outside the ring next to this gigantic mirror, and pick apart all their faults. I used to have a lot of fun with that back then. Dallas knew my mentality back then, so that was like a shoot. I tell, look at these obliques on you, and look at your inferior genetics. I used to have fun with that. I don't think the guys that wrestled me had so much fun with it, but I sure had fun doing it.
You know, when I'll never forget the first time I walked in the locker room as the manager, Diamond Dallas Page in WCW, and Lex. Now, he didn't have that body just from working out. He had, and I'm not kidding, a bucket of at least, I would say, 6 chicken breasts and at least 5 potatoes, sweet potatoes or regular potatoes, stacked up. And he'd just be eating. He ate, what'd you eat, like every 2.5 hours back then or what?
Oh, I ate every, my career, I ate every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours.
Like clockwork. Yeah. I'd wake up during the night to drink a protein shake. I set my alarm in the middle of the night.
Okay. Robert.
Ridiculous.
Who's our first question here? Text me who we're talking to. Who's our first person who's been waiting on the line probably for who knows how long? If you've got a question, go 347-1216. We're going to just hold all lines up for a little bit, then we're going to close them down. So if you're not in, we're going to close you out. So, Robert, who do we have on the pike here?
Yeah, we have Paula, who called in actually before the show even started, so she's been waiting quite a while.
Wow, Paula, where are you calling from?
I am calling you guys from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Eau Claire, I'm going to be in Eau Claire.
I know, I'm so excited, but I probably won't get to see you because it's a geek event, apparently.
Oh, but that of all places, Eau Claire, I don't even know.
I know, right? I am a proud DDP Yoga member. Thank you very much. So,
tell you what, you come by. You come by during that thing, and I'll slip you in.
Oh, will you? Oh.
Yes, I will.
I would be honored. really. First thing I want to say to Dallas is thank you to you and your village for bringing Jake back and for helping out Lex, because these were the people that I grew up watching. And I promise I'm not going to cry, but I'm so nervous.
Just take a breath. Just take a breath. Take a breath, Paul. Take a deep breath.
Oh, DDP's breathing. I love it.
Sorry, I grew up watching these guys, and I want to say thank you.
You're so sweet. You are so sweet. You're up in the cheese country. Cheese
country. Yeah, and I don't even eat cheese. I'm lactose intolerant. So, you know, anyway, I want to ask Lex. I want to say, growing up, I watched you and Sting always together.
Yes.
I want to say, if you could go back in time and wrestle anybody, who would you wrestle?
Wow, that's a good question.
It is a good question.
That is a very good question. I guess if I could go back in time, I would say I met him one time in an airport, and this is going to sound kind of crazy, but he picked me up in a golf cart as I was walking through the terminal. I was about 275 back then. Like, I was a little child, I met Andre the Giant. And he was the biggest human being to this day I've ever laid my eyes on. But he was so nice to me. He scooped me up with one hand around my chest like a little child. Like I had a frying pan around in front of my chest. He set me in the golf cart next to me, chuckling. It would have been so cool to have a match with Andre the Giant. If I look back in the guys of, like, before my time. So I got to wrestle with all the great guys in my era. But before my era, one that comes to mind, good question, would have been Andre the Giant, for sure.
I would agree. I would agree. Andre was definitely one of the best, too. As were, too. So.
Thank you.
You're very kind.
Keep on doing
your DDP.
I'm doing my DDP. In fact, I did my DDP to get my adrenaline up before I called.
There you go.
Well, I'm
doing it every morning now. I'm locked in again. 4:30 in the morning. I'm on my floor doing DDP now here in Atlanta. So think of me. When you don't feel like doing, say, Lex is down the floor at 4:30 in the morning. So keep on keeping on, young lady.
Well, we got snow coming tomorrow, so I'll be shoveling before I do my DDP. So
make sure you breathe when you shovel. Breathe.
Always.
Do DDP's breathing methods when you shovel.
That's right. Always do it.
Come by and find me. I won't forget this. Come by and find me, and I'll slip you into that workshop I'm doing for them. They won't mind.
Awesome. Thanks, Dallas. I appreciate it.
That's funny. I didn't mention that I'm going to be in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, because it's not an open event. But this corporation's bringing me in for something I call Inspiration Meets Perspiration. And it's the
workshop. I like the name of that.
That's sweet. I knew you'd love that. Okay, we got a couple of the calls. Let's get them on. We got Josh on the line.
Hey, guys. This is Josh from Juneau, Alaska. How's it going?
Good, man. You got a question for my man Lex Luger here?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do. Yeah, with reading the book and just it's amazing how truthful it was and just out there everything was, and that's a really cool thing and a really cool thing to see. And my question would
be,
with the positive life changes that you made and finally kind of making all of those changes and making them stick, how did you handle people, friends, in your life, whatever it may be, how did you handle them telling you, well, is it really this time? Have you really changed? Have you really made that change for good?
That's a great question. And I had, believe me, a lot of skeptics. And,
yeah.
But I found that as in life over time, when people see that you live it out, don't just talk about it. Hey, I'm off drugs now and I don't do that anymore. Just live it. And when people see that, I find that they become believers that you're genuine and that you have made a life change. And it takes time.
And I'm sure there's still skeptics out there. And we can't. One thing I've learned in life, you can't control what other people think. You can control what you do, what you say, and how you conduct yourself with integrity and honesty. And we don't have any control with the other people. There's always going to be people out there who are going to say this or that. So, but I found it over time that a lot of people realize that it's the real deal. So
yeah.
I really can't take a lot of credit for it, but I mean, I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, with DDP yoga and doing the certification stuff, I've had a lot of people that have said, oh, it's just a passing fad and whatnot. So it's kind of nice to hear people.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. It is a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. DDP yoga is a lifestyle. I'm there every morning now, like I was before when it gave me so much benefits after my injury. And it's a lifestyle. Man. I first thing in the morning, man, I hit the coffee maker, and, man, I get down on the floor, man. I love it, man. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, I know how it goes. I get grumpy when I don't do it, and so I know that's it's like,
yeah.
Oh, man. It's like I skip a day. It's time to get back on that mat.
Absolutely. It's like leaving the house without brushing your teeth.
Exactly.
Now there's an
analogy. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question.
Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah,
okay,
no
our next
care, guys.
We got Lenny. Lenny, you out there?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy. Where you calling?
Hey, I'm from Wisconsin. I'm actually the head geek that's bringing you in to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, to Dallas.
Awesome. Well, you got that. So perfect. And you're going to take care of my girl Paula when she gets there.
Absolutely. Paula's welcome to come. That's awesome to hear from her. Yeah.
That is
I'm looking forward to meeting you guys.
It's good.
Yeah, we're
good.
Having a green. We're having a Wisconsin fest here today.
Yeah,
so,
just like you're back in the Green Bay Packers, right, Lex?
Yeah, man. Back up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. Lifelong fan. Watched both of your guys' complete careers for the most part. I missed some of your early Florida days, Lex. But just an honor to be talking to you both. I read both
Thank
your books.
You.
Totally
Thank
inspired.
You.
My wife and I have done.
Nine
DDP
words.
Yoga. Yeah, my wife and I have done DDP yoga for a year now, and have had great
nice.
Results at DDP. Nothing but respect for the both of you.
Well, thank you, bro.
Thank
you.
Is there a question in there? You have a question
yeah, there is a question there, Lex. Actually, going back, I'll show you how long of a fan I come from. 1987, earlier days back in Florida. I think it was Florida. I think you had a steel cage match with Bruiser Brody, the late, great Bruiser Brody.
Oh, man. I get
and, dude, from what I read
time.
About that, he no-selled you, and there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. I just wanted to see your thoughts on that now.
I was scared to death, but I freaked out that night. We had done TV tapings in Tampa for that morning, and he was a big 6'6", 300-pound, crazy-looking guy. And I got in the ring in a cage match, and he just stopped working and just stood there staring at me. And I looked at the referee, and I was in my first dress. I go, man, what are we doing? He goes, I don't know. What's wrong, though? I go, I was asking him. He wouldn't answer us. He just stopped working. And he had razor blades all off, taped all over his hands. And I was scared to death. We finally, the referee and I backed him into a corner. I threw some punches at him. The referee told me to stop, and he DQ'd the match. I didn't even wait for the door to get unchained. I climbed over the top of the cage to get away from him. I was scared to death.
Fuck, he was a wild son of a bitch, though, too, man.
Oh, my gosh. I walked back across stage afterwards. It was like a stage area backstage. It was like an auditorium. I said, well, if I'm going to get my butt whooped, I'm going to go take my whoop. And I walked over to ask, because I was brand new wrestling, like, what did I do wrong? Did I offend you? What did I do? Matsuda taught me, who trained me, wrestling had respect for the veteran guys. So I walked over there. His manager nodded that I could come in. He was just unlacing taking his boots off. And I go, sir, I was like real respectful. Can I ask what happened? He goes, it just wasn't working out there. He goes, I'm on TV now out in Texas with the Von Erichs as a good guy, and you're on TV now going into Turner as a bad guy, and just it wasn't working with the crowd. It's been a long day. It just wasn't working. We're not trying. So I could ask it all the time, but it was a very bizarre thing that happened. But he just totally shrugged it off like it was no big deal.
When I was 22, I tried wrestling. I had three matches. Two were friggin' like house show matches, and one was a TV. And I don't even know how they're, you know, bring up guys to get put over, you know, et cetera, you know, job guys. But I had a really friggin' awesome look when I was a kid for surfer with long hair. You know, I was about 240 then. You know, I had all the robes. I mean, I looked like I was supposed to be somebody, even though I was no one. And
right.
In my first match up there, I'm in a tag match. And these, you know, the old boys in the corner, maybe they're 40, right? Old boys. They
right.
beat the hell out of me. And I mean, like, crack my ribs, beat the hell out of me. Like, where's the, you know, this shit's, this is really, like, it's supposed to be a clothesline finish. And I'm thinking, when this son of a bitch lets me go, I'm going to hit him so hard. And I came off that ropes, and I hit him right in the face. His buddy came over to think, they beat the shit out of me. They threw me over the top rope. I hit the ground wrong. I torqued the hell out of my knee, my bad knee. So now they DQ the match, which is not the finish. Now I go to the back.
Oh, my God.
I got to fight my way out of here. I don't know anybody. I'm in Montreal, Quebec, and I don't know anybody, and except for the guys I came up with, and I don't know where they are. So I'm going to get my shit and try to work my way out of this place, and the friggin' guy comes around the corner, and I don't see him, and he smacks me on the back, the guy I hit. He goes, way to fight back, kid.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't it crazy?
I'm like, what is?
I thought, I mean, he had a crazy up. I thought Frank was his name. He ended up getting stabbed down in Puerto Rico a couple years later, unfortunately. But the locker room didn't make it. I mean, he's not with him anymore, but he had a crazy up. I thought he was going to, just like you, I was scared to death in the back afterwards, and he was like, no big deal.
Yep. back. Yep. Whatever. Wasn't working. See ya.
It really is a work.
We're trying not to kill each other out there. Sometimes it gets real fast. Other times you're like, what the hell was that? You know,
yeah.
Crazy story. Hey, Lenny, I'm looking forward to meeting you when I come up there, bud. You know, we're going to say, I guess I'm going to come in there that early and then fly out the next morning. So look forward to hooking up with you and then meeting your people and everything. All right, my friend?
Sounds great, Dallas. And Lex, thanks so much.
Thank
you. Have a good night. We got a couple more, Lex. You mind hanging out a little longer?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Okay, I got Damien. Damien out there.
Hey, how are you, Dallas?
Good, buddy. Where are you calling in from?
Calling from Keyport, New Jersey, your home state.
Dude, I played Keyport.
The Garden State.
That's right, Dallas.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man.
It's a frozen state now. There's so much ice and snow, it's like 20 feet high. I can't even walk anywhere without falling. But,
yeah, it's like Buffalo. It's like Buffalo up there.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. But Dallas, I've been a longtime fan. Same thing with you, Lex. I've been watching WCW all throughout its years, even till the end. Lex, one of my favorite matches you had was with Sting, and you were fighting on the beach, and the referee had to do the 1-2-3 count on the shore. I'll never forget that one. That was a great match you had.
Thank you.
Yeah, but my main question for both of you is I've been following the YouTube channel, and also Scott Hall. I'm a very big fan, and I was very, very impressed with what DDP Yoga did for him and Jake. And I also saw Scott gave you thanks, Lex, about the gym. You offered him a gym for him and Cody to work out at. Also, Scott put a picture of you and him sitting on the couch. What are both of your opinions on Scott Hall and Jake, and how have they been doing with DDP Yoga up until now? What are both of your opinions?
I'll start that one, Lex, and then you can finish it up because I know you've really gotten close to Scott over this time. I think that, you know, both of those guys have made an amazing turnaround, and I don't expect either one of them to constantly be being on top of their game every day. I think sometimes everybody falls down, they get depressed, they go through different things they have to work out. The one thing that was really great for Scott, because both of them guys have been like 11 and 12 times to rehab. I can't remember who has 12. I think it's Jake. You know, but, you know, Scotty has about 11 times. And one of the things that really came out of time that I'm not a rehab center. I have nothing to do with that. We just had no booze in my house, no pills, no drugs. And no one was, you know, if they wanted to stay here, could do that. And, you know, it was more of a village. That's why I'm bringing all my people from who work here at the Accountability Crib. I'm bringing everybody down, you know, for Jake's induction, you know, into the Hall of Fame, because everybody worked really hard, and, you know, the belief, and never, discredit someone's belief in somebody. Because when someone believes they could turn it around, and even when they don't believe themselves, you can help them believe in themselves. And that's what I see, you know, every day. You know, whenever I'm on the road a lot because my girl's got cancer right now, so I've been back and forth to Mexico at times. Right. And I haven't been here. But I have been back for the last week, and I hooked up with Scotty twice, and, you know, he's really doing great. He was here. Him and Jake were both here today because we're filming something for a new app that that I'm working on for DDP Yoga, which is going to be it's going to become the Netflix of fitness. And both of those guys are involved in the beginning part of this app video that we're doing. And we just had so much fun hanging out. And, you know, they both don't live here anymore. They both live down the street. Scotty's like a mile from here, and Jake's about 2.5 miles from here. They both moved out on their own. I brought them in. They hung as long as they wanted to. When they left, it was great, awesome. You know, now it's time to go to the next level, you know, with what you're doing in your life. And for Jake to have been inducted this year, I'm sure at some point Scott's going to be inducted without question. If it's not, you know, next year, it'll be the year after. But I'm sure at some point he's going to be inducted because he had such an amazing run. And now they see that Scott is, you know, he's taking accountability for himself, you know. And he's still Scott Hall.
Yeah.
Going to say things on Twitter, you know, that because now he knows what Twitter is. And he's still going to be the bad guy, and he's, you know, going to have fun with that. But the both of them, Jake, and when people say, well, Jake just said blah, 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 I go, well, he's Jake Roberts. You know, he's just going to, you know, the guy has grown so much. The both of them have grown so much in the last year. The really cool thing about Scott's rehabs that he went through, he took a lot of psychological stuff, and he really understood why he did a lot of the things he did. And neither one of them can change their past, but they can change their future. And I got a lot of confidence in both of them. And today was just another awesome day when everybody was in the house and everybody was walking around like, oh God, it's like old times. Everybody was beaming, and you could feel it in the video that we were shooting. It was a lot of fun. So, you know, I'm really proud of both those guys. If you look at where the both of them were a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say any more than that, you know, and I just pray and hope, and I do pray, and I'm a big God guy, big time, and so is Scott, so is Jake, you know, and I believe that, you know, that's God has a reason for putting us all in certain people's paths, and we all have the decision whether we go left, right, or straight ahead, whatever way we pick, and then we got to live with that, and then not beat ourselves up. Okay, move on and just keep moving forward. So I think both of those guys are, you know, the epitome of that, and they're both doing really well right now, and I just wish them the best of success. What do you think, Lex?
Yeah, I'm equally as thrilled. I didn't play as integral a part any shape or manner as you have. I commend you for where you worked with them and welcomed and opened up your home, Dallas. I'm so proud of you and what you provided for them. But you are absolutely correct. They have to take control of what they can take control of. I think it's kind of like for them coming down into your home, the accountability house, and it was kind of like a light switch going off for them. I call it stepping into the light. And I believe that they're around positive people taking care of their bodies. His son came down here. He is in the training and eating right. And it's just exercising, doing the DDP yoga. It all works together collectively with taking care of your body, respecting your body, being around positive people, good influences all the time who are counting on you to make good decisions from here on out. I feel that God oversees all that. I am just so thrilled with the direction their lives have taken in such a positive way. I'm just like, I'm just beaming over him. Every time I see Scott, he looks better. I'd never met Jake, you know, until 3 weeks ago. Did you know that?
Yeah, you told me that, which I was really surprised. I didn't know that.
All I had seen of mine was on YouTube and all this horrible stuff like a lot of the fans saw. And to see the clarity in his eyes and his smile and that sparkle in his eyes, man, I'm so thrilled for those guys. And I'm just really excited to see where their lives are going to go from here. I really am.
Is that cool? That answer your question, bro?
Yeah, it was great talking to you guys. And Dallas, you're doing a great thing, and very proud you're representing Jersey all the time. And both of you guys, definitely Hall of Famers in my eyes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Kind words.
Jersey Shore. I love the Jersey Shore guys and gals. All right, we got two more questions, Rex. We got two more questions. I'm going to save my buddy for the last one. But Elijah, are you out there? Elijah.
Hi. Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Chicago.
Oh, love Chi-Town. Love
Chi-Town.
You got a question for my brother Lester?
Yeah, Gibson Steakhouse.
Well, first of all, let me thank you guys, man. Lex and Dallas, you guys have provided me with so much entertainment on the wrestling front. Man, I just really enjoyed watching you guys. It was just such a joy. Yes, such a joy. And, you know, I'm an attorney in Chicago and a real estate investor. And I was at a meeting last Thursday, and a guy told me about a video where a guy has been doing yoga, and he was talking about Arthur Bauman's video.
Yeah,
so I look at the video.
Yeah, not just any yoga, not your mama's yoga.
Right. That's right. So I look at the video, and then I'm kind of doing some work at the same time, and then I see DDP. I say, oh, he must be talking about who the guru is. He must have studied too. So I look at and there's DDP, the guru. I say, what? Well, DDP, man, now you are taking me into another arena, and I'm going to learn from you. I'm ordering the Max Pack tonight, the heart rate monitor. And I want to know about the yoga mat. Is the Manduka the best, or which mat should I get?
Well, I'll tell you. The Manduka mat is a costly mat, but it's an awesome mat, and I love them. But I don't know when it's going to be out. It'll probably be out in a couple more weeks, but we just did our version of the Manduka, which is less expensive because I didn't want to have to. Manduka's about a $100 mat, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was looking for something that was in between that and ours, but has the same quality. And we just got it done. It's got the logo. You're going to want this one because it's got the DDP Yoga logo embroidered into the mat. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't
know. Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Awesome, awesome.
I'm digging it.
The important thing you just said there is the heart monitor, because so many people do not really get the whole thing about. I had he played nose guard for the Patriots 2 years ago, and he's played for the Jags. You know, he's 27 years old. His name is Kyle Love, 318 pound stud. You know, just 6'2", just stud. And I had him in here working out with me today. And he's done yoga, and he hates, you know, he did nothing he liked about yoga. But as soon as I started through what DDP yoga is, a lot of, you know, what I brought to the wrestling into my form of yoga that is mixed with rehab and old school calisthenics. But the thing that makes it so different is dynamic resistance. And that's all about flexing and engaging muscles as you move from one position to another. Sort of like you're lifting weights, but there's no weight. But when you lift weight, your heart rate goes boom, 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 because you're flexing and engaging muscles. Think about this. When you're laying down, your heart rate is the lowest. You sit up, what happens to your heart rate? It goes
up.
Right.
Goes up.
As soon as you stand up, it goes up. Walk, up. Yeah. Jog, run, sprint, up, up, up. All you're doing is firing muscles. So I take this stud, this 27-year-old stud, and I have him do the diamond cutter sign where he's pushing his thumbs and his index fingers together really hard, right? And I have him spread his fingers as he's doing it. I go, look at this. Your hand, your inside of your forearm, your bicep, and your pectoral muscles are all engaged, right? He goes, yeah, like surprised, right? Yeah, they are. Stretch your arms out in front of you, straight out in front of you. Keep pushing your thumbs and your index fingers together. Now pull your pinkies away, as far away from your thumb as you can. What happens then? Your hand engages. The outside of your forearm, your tricep, your deltoid, and your trap. I said, now he's like, oh, my God. And he's starting to shake a little bit because he's really intense about it. I said, now take your arms up. Keep pushing your thumb and index fingers together. Keep pulling your pinkies away. Take your arms back like you're going to do the diamond cutter. Now bring your arms out to a cross or a T. Clench your fist and hulk it up. And, of course, he cracks that crab shot, that Lex Luger crab shot. And then I go, attention, shoulders back, chest out. I go, tell me your heart rate's not jacking up already. He goes, I can't believe that.
My heart rate's going up just listening to you.
He's into the workout less than 10 minutes. His heart rate's 157. I said, would you ever believe that if you didn't have a heart monitor on? He goes, no way. So what happens when you jack your heart rate up, especially when you're over 35 and 40, you don't want to stay all the way jacked up. You want to come down. So when you finish the DDP yoga workout, I want you to feel like you can run through a wall and do it all over again. I don't want you to go, oh, my God, that kicked my ass. Now, certain days it's going to. Because you ran your heart rate up too high. Because it's very deceptive. So very smart move by you getting the heart rate monitor, dude, because it will definitely take the game to another level.
Well, thank you, man, and I look forward, hope to meet you one day.
I'm sure you will, dude, because Shai.
Great decision. Congratulations on your decision and on your new journey you're embarking on. You're going to love it.
All right. Thank you, Lex. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Our last question is going to a good buddy of mine. He's a big friend of the show. He is Officer X. I don't know. Have you, Officer X, you on there, X?
I'm here, man.
All right, from Boston. You've met Lex before, right?
My brother, all the time.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Lex? How you doing?
Hey, glad you're on the air with us tonight, man. What's going on up there in Boston? You guys thawing out yet?
It's awful out, but what are you going to do? Oh, you know, thank God I got a snowblower. But I'll tell you, though, guys, for everyone out there in radio land, these two guys are the best. Real deal. Remember, we all met in Charlotte at that convention that time.
Right, I remember. As soon as you said it, I remember.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. But I'll tell you, for anybody out there, man, these are two real dudes, and I listen to the show all the time. Half the time I don't hit the button when I'm at work or whatever, and I just love when people call in and they talk about how they've grown, because I mean, fitness is a thing for me, it's a thing for you guys, it's awesome, body, mind, and spirit, and that living life at 90, man.
Yeah, you got that right, Brian, man, it's great hearing from you, man. Right here,
hey, Lex, have you talked to Brian since now he's a lieutenant?
I have. Yeah. I've already congratulated him. That's awesome.
Talk about a guy who took living life at 90%, and when nobody they said, you'll never be a sergeant, and the son of a gun trained and friggin' studied and studied and studied, and then he passed the test, and a shitload of guys did not. And then when it came to lieutenant, you're never going to be a lieutenant. I think this cat eventually is going to be a captain. He's going to be running the whole department.
You never know. You never know, man. Stranger should stay. You can
well,
do whatever you want to do.
No stopping you now. He's in the group.
Hey, good thing you wrestled and didn't sing for a living, huh? You would have never had enough dough to eat enough to weigh 275 if you were dependent on singing, man. No, but anyways, it's just a beautiful world we got here, guys. And anyone out there in DDP yoga radio, man, dig in, man. Jump in with both feet, and the great things are going to happen to you are going to be reflected in the people you love the most, because your world is going to change.
Yeah,
that's where you'll see it, guys. You know.
Well,
I appreciate
you calling in, bro. I want to save you good to stuff. The end. Sparky, yes, Sparky, you got one more question over there and then we can cash this out, or are we done over there?
Peace out.
Sparky?
Yeah, Will Garland just wanted to know if Lex is ever headed to the UK.
You never know. Stay tuned.
Well, when Lex is going to be heading over there, we will definitely get him back on the show, make sure we get that out there and let other people know about that. I also want to encourage people to listen to Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. I don't know if you've heard about this, Lex, but Austin is pulling in like 600,000 listeners.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he's just killing it. And Jericho's podcast is kicking ass, too. I'm one of the proud supporters of both Jericho's and Stone Cold's podcast. They're a lot of fun to listen to. Like sometimes I'll just throw them on when I'm about to do a workout and throw the podcast on and listen to that while I'm going through one of my private workouts, and I'm cracking up. And, you know, Steve and Chris have really, you know, those guys are multifaceted and come in their own on so many different levels. So I encourage everyone to listen to Steve's program and to listen to Chris's. And, of course, Jake the Snake Radio. It's just Snake Radio. Right, Dylan? If anybody wants to listen to Snake Radio, are we still doing videos on YouTube?
Yeah.
So if you want to catch Jake and see what Jake's all about, what he's doing with his podcast on Snake Radio, go on YouTube and you can catch that as well. I want to let one more last time, I want to remind everybody I'm coming across the pond, going to be in the UK, Wales, and Ireland. And if you want to come and see the Q&A tour, I'll answer everything, and there's a story to everything. So I guarantee you're going to laugh your ass off. You might even get a little welled up and a little bit choked up because of some of the stories that I tell. But I guarantee you're going to walk out of there having a great time. And my boys over at Eros Comedy, that's Eros Comedy, comedy.com. And my boys Billy and Chris, they are making that tour happen. And if you want to catch the workshop, I will be March 1st in London, March 8th in Lex Luger's favorite town in the UK, Manchester. I will be at the Manchester doing a DDP yoga workout there, a workshop. So go to ddpyoga.com to catch that. And if you want to get tickets now for WrestleMania, just go again, ddpyoga.com. All the information's out there. And the last thing I want to say is the retreat. If you're saving up because you can't catch me in the UK, you're not going to catch us at Mania, maybe you want to come down and have a hell of a time with us in Mexico. Go to ddpyogaretreat.com. That is its own animal. Ain't nothing like that. And you got to trust me, this ain't your mama's retreat. I want to thank Lex for coming on the show tonight. Lex, what's one more time? Where can we get the book? Where can we read the story of, the whole deal, Wrestling with the Devil? Where can we get that again?
Oh, man, Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble's, you name it, LexLugerBook.com. And I'm going to go to bed with Vision of DDP Yoga, dancing in my head, get flat in the rack, and 6 hours from now I'll be hitting the floor with DDP Yoga, buddy.
I love you, Lex, so much, man. Thanks so much for coming by. You were such an inspiration. Along with my boy Mark Mero, you guys are just changing lives on a different level. I love you for coming on here. Thank you, Sparky. We missed you, my lovely girl, Stacey Morris, and Robert. Always a pleasure, my man. Everyone else, you've been wonderful. You've been marvelous, but see ya!
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Diamond Cutter!
I don't believe it! Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb!
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.